J-O, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi. This is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father, for this awesome opportunity, my Father, to come on this radio broadcast, my Father, and to share the love of God with your people, Father. I thank you, my Father, for your amazing grace, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, my Father. Thank you so much, Lord. Now, Father, we invite your Holy Spirit, Father, in this podcast, on this program, Lord, that he might have his way on this broadcast, Lord, that he would speak through these lips of clay and minister to all of our needs, my Father, God. Holy Spirit, have your way in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, I bless y'all in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare over y'all that God's will for your life will be done. Why? Because his kingdom has come, and when his kingdom comes, then his will can be done here on earth just like it is in heaven. Word Arthur, when his kingdom comes, then his will for our lives can be done where? Here on earth. How often? Just as it is in heaven. That's God's greatest desire for our lives. You know, that's God's original intent for our lives. That's God's original purpose for our lives. That it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Hey, listen, the only way that can be done that way, boy, then earth have to have connection with heaven. In order for earth to have connection with heaven, then mankind have to have connection with heaven. Hallelujah. And listen, mankind had connection with heaven in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and they was on their way to a great destination. And that destination was making earth our territory, our colony of heaven. I say this all the time because this needs to get past your intellect down into your spirit so that you can get past religion and come on into a relationship and come on into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of his dear son. Hey, listen, you know, that's what God's greatest desire is for your life, for my life, is that it be in our lives the way he intended for it to be. And he intended for it to be in our lives just like it is in his life in heaven. And he wants the same thing for our lives here on earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, that was his original intent and his original desire. And let me say this. I say this all the time, you know. Hey, his will going to be done. His purpose going to be fulfilled. What he originally intended and desired and planned and purposed for our life before the foundation of the world, and then he going to have that. We're talking about Almighty God. He going to have what he said. And boy, what the devil don't ever want us to find out is what God said. You don't mind us finding out what God said through mankind, through the prophets. He don't ever want you to hear what God said through his son, Jesus Christ. That's why he preoccupied us, man, with the gospel of Jesus at the expense of forfeiting the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. We know all about the gospel of Jesus. We know all about Jesus and how he was born, when he was born, what he did, how he opened blind eyes, unstopped deaf ears, cast out devils, raised the dead, called the lame to walk. We know all about those great things, how he hung, bled, and died for our sins. But we don't know what he said about all those things that he did. Listen, the gospel of Jesus is good news. That's good news. Hallelujah. And all those things that he did, you know, was to show us more of what belonged to us and what we can do. And to show us, man, you know, that there's something far greater than just the good news about Jesus. And that's the good news that Jesus preached. And the good news that Jesus Christ came and preached to humanity was that the kingdom of God that was once upon the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 has come back to the earth. It's within your reach. It's within hand's reach. It's at hand. It's near. This is how near it is. As far as if you stretch your arm out, as far as from your body to the tip of your finger that you got stretched out, that length, that's how close it is to you. How close is the length from your armpit to the tip of your finger? What that is, 2 feet, 2.5 feet, somewhere up long arms, maybe 2.5 feet. That's how close the kingdom of God is to you right now. That's how close it is. That's how available it is. But if you don't know that the kingdom of heaven is available to you right now, then you won't go after it. You won't seek after it. You'll stay in religion. You'll stay in, man, trying to appease God. You'll stay in trying to do things to get what all God has for you. And all you got to do to get what all God has for you is to come to the knowledge of it, because it's the grace of God that God gives everything to you. And the way he gets it to us is through faith. And the devil don't ever want you to find out what Jesus Christ came and preached to humanity. Let me show you what he said in Matthew chapter 4:17. I always quote this scripture, and you got to get past your intellect. Hey, that's how you learn, and that's how it get into your heart, by repetition. The Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. That's how faith comes. Hallelujah. And boy, what the devil don't ever want you to hear, like I always say, he don't ever want you to hear the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. Let me say it again. Boy, Jesus Christ come and preach in Matthew 4:17. Repent. Change your way of thinking. Why? Because all of the kingdom of heaven is at your hand. Hallelujah. What did he preach? What was his inauguration message, man? What was his first message that he began to preach to humanity? Repent for all of the kingdom of heaven. Did you know what all of the kingdom of heaven is? All that heaven consists of. When he was saying all of the kingdom of heaven is available to you, he's saying all that heaven consists of. All the attributes of heaven, the lifestyle of heaven, the characteristics of heaven, the blessings of heaven, the treasures of heaven, the healing of heaven, all that heaven consists of. Is there any sickness in heaven? No. Nothing but health and divine life. You say that's available to you. Is there any poverty in heaven? No. The streets are paved with gold. Is there any lack in heaven? No. All your needs are supplied, and everything that you have need of is already provided for you in that place. Is there any racism in heaven, any backbiting in heaven, any slandering in heaven, anything that's going on this earth that we see here today, is any of that going on in heaven? No. Nothing but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Nothing but everlasting life in the presence of the Most High God. Nothing but, boy, no lack and no needs and no want, because everything is provided for you. Everything that you have need of, provided for you. Can you imagine that? And Jesus Christ come preaching and saying, hey, listen, that was yours before the foundation of the world. God intended for you to have that from before the foundation of the world. What? All of him in our lives here on earth. For what purpose? So that we could fulfill his intent and his plan and his purpose for our lives. What is intent and plan and purpose for our lives? He wanted to be on earth just like it is in heaven. How Arthur? Through his family of sons called mankind, you and I. How you going to get that done? Through you and I. How you going to get that done through you and I? by the power of the Holy Spirit. Like I told you at first, you know, in order for it to be on earth like it is in heaven, there had to be a divine connection of heaven to earth. That divine connection of heaven to earth is the Holy Spirit. That's a divine connection. That's what connects heaven to earth, the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, then there's no connection. There's no understanding. There's no knowledge of. He's the one. You know, when Jesus began his ministry, you know, the Bible say in Luke chapter 4, he said he went to the place, to the synagogue, that it was, as his custom was, and they delivered, and they delivered it unto him. In other words, let me paraphrase. They said, come on, brother Jesus, read the scriptures to us, if you don't mind, please. And Jesus said, okay, hand me the book of the scroll of Isaiah, if you will, please. And then he opened up the book, and he found a place where it was written about him. He found a place in the book of Isaiah about the messianic prophecy, about, boy, the Messiah. And, boy, he began to read. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are bound, to set the captives free, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to proclaim to every man and every woman and every boy and every girl that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the year of Jubilee. This is the year, boy, to come in and receive everything, boy, that you lost in Adam. Jesus Christ come to get it back for you, boy, and this is the year of Jubilee. All debt canceled, glory to God. Everything that you lost restored back to you. And all they did that year, boy, just celebrated, man, for the whole year. But that's what Jesus Christ come preaching to us, boy, that this is the year of Jubilee, that now is the time, man, to receive the forgiveness of all your sin. Now is the time for the penalty of sin, which is death, to be paid in full. Now is the time, boy, that every debt that we owe, that's a result of the sin nature that's on the inside of us, boy, listen, every debt paid in full, all your transgressions paid in full, the penalty for your sins paid in full. Hallelujah. For what purpose, Arthur? So that you can have restored back to you everything that you lost. That's what happened in the year of Jubilee. All the debts that they owe were canceled. Everything that they lost, restored back to them. And all they did, boy, was just celebrated, man, and rejoiced in the God of their salvation and the God of the year of Jubilee, boy. Listen, can you imagine that, man, debt-free lives? But that's what Jesus Christ come telling us. That's what he preached. Hey, listen, I come to give you a debt-free life. I come to live that you might live life debt-free. You don't owe man nothing. Everything that you owe is paid. And the greatest thing, the debt that you owe, man, was death. Hey, that's paid in full. He paid it all. We say it all the time. He paid it all. He did pay it all. And that's just no cliche. He did pay it all. Everything that caused us to be, man, the way we are now, man, instead of the way God intended for us to be, and what caused there was sin, and Jesus Christ come and paid it all. You know, the Bible say the penalty for sin is death. That's in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. In chapter 3, verse 23, it say, all have sinned and come short of the mark. Another place in the Bible, it say, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Another place in the Bible, it say, man, listen, he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God. Listen to what Jesus Christ is telling us in our day and time. Hey, listen, you are the righteousness of God. God made you righteous. God paid all the penalty for your sins through the shed blood of his son, Jesus Christ. God declared you righteous. God has already saved the whole human race. Listen, he's not the God of the Christians. He's the God of the whole human race. He's the God of every man, every woman, and every boy, and every girl. He's not into denominations and religion and all of that, man, like what we have established here. And listen, boy, we have allowed the devil to reduce Christianity to one of the big four religions that's in the earth. Christianity. Christianity. What else are the Buddhism? Hinduism, and the Muslim religion. He allowed us boy to that the kingdom of God and what Christ came to preach men to, Lord have mercy, to compete with religions. Man, God, how you gonna reduce Jesus Christ down to Buddha and Marahala and to Muhammad? Man, he created them. He not a prophet. He not like one of them. Like I say, he created them. How dare we reduce him to man what he created? He a king. Hallelujah. The Bible say in the book of Psalm, I think it's chapter 24, it say, listen, open ye the gates, for the King of Glory is coming through. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord God Almighty. Another place in the Bible, man, where they say, man, those wise men say, man, unto us, in fact, Isaiah said it this way, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And of his kingdom, he got a government on his shoulder, a ruling authority, a system of governing. He got that on his shoulder. And of his governing system that he got on his shoulder, there shall be no end. Talking about the kingdom of God. He come to bring the kingdom of God back and the governing system of the kingdom of God and the functioning system of the kingdom of heaven and how kingdom operates and the laws of the kingdom and how to function in the kingdom and how to live in the kingdom and how to get all of the benefits and the blessing of the kingdom, man, from the unseen realm into our lives here on earth. Boy, that's what he came. That's what God sent him for. Not to produce another religion. And God ain't into religion. He into relationship. Adam and Eve, man, didn't have a religion in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. They had a relationship with God. I'm going to say it again. They didn't have religion. They weren't having church the way we know it and trying to do things the way we know it in church and Christianity and religion and even in the theology that we have. No, they didn't have no pews and no apostles and no prophets and no evangelists and no pastors and no teachers. None of that wasn't going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. They had church, but not like we know it. Like I say, we have allowed the devil to reduce man to reduce church down to a boy, a religion and a religious ritual and ceremony. When church is not a religious word, church is a political word. Hallelujah. Church is a governing word. Church is a called out people, man, to execute men the governing influence of a territory. In a territory, boy, that is on, and he comes to influence the territory that is in with the territory that it comes from. So the territory that is in may be just like the territory that it comes from. The Bible calls that colonization. That's why I said earlier, you know, God's original intent when he created earth and when he created mankind, because he wanted to, out of all the systems, all the planets, all the solar system, all the eons of space, boy, God, boy, chose the planet that you and I live on, that it would be inhabited by his people. For what purpose? So that through his people, he could make our territory that he gave us, the earth, a colony of him. What's a colony, boy? A colony is a territory that looks just like a territory that it is governed by. You know, the United States used to be a colony. Back in the day, there was a 13 colonies, and then they declared independence from Great Britain and from England. And then they became, boy, the United States. It became on its own, but at first it was a colony. It was a colony of Great Britain. And man, what was going on in the colonies that was in the United States, in America here, was the same thing that was going on in Great Britain. Because they sent governors from Great Britain to set up governing influence of Great Britain in this new territory that they have taken over, boy, and made a colony of Great Britain. That's the same thing that God did, boy. He sent us from heaven. From the kingdom of heaven. You know that's where you originated from? He sent us from the kingdom of heaven down to this earth. that he created for us. For what purpose, Arthur? So that through the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us could make this territory, earth, just like God's territory. Yeah. Listen, if you don't know it, that's God's desire. That's God's will. That's God's plan. That's God's original intent. And regardless of what it may seem like, regardless of what it may be like, regardless of what the devil did, regardless of the disobedience of Adam and Eve, regardless to the transgression of the law of God, regardless to all of that, man, you can't stop what God said and what God doing. Well, you might try to. The devil tried to, and he threw the hindrance in it and everything else. But God is God. And, boy, he going to have what he say. He say, hey, listen, fix this in your heart. I'm God, and that's nothing like me. I'm going to declare, boy, the end. It, before the beginning. I'm going to show you the end first, and then I'm going to begin. I'm going to set the destination first, and then I'm going to start you on course toward it. I'm going to show you the end of everything, what it's going to be like at the end, and then I'm going to back all the way back up and say on your and form a body for you to live in and put you in an environment, an atmosphere that you could do your job from, and then I'm going to say on your mark, get set, go. That's what he did, boy, what he said, and formed the body from the dust and placed mankind that come from heaven in that body and breathed into mankind nostrils the breath of life. You know when he breathed into mankind nostrils the breath of life? He breathed into mankind's spirit the Holy Spirit. That's the breath of life. And that breath of life is the life of God, the Zoe life. Life the way God lives and life the way God intended for us to live. You know, the way God intended for us to live is just like he lived. The same way he lived, that's how he intended for us to live. The same way he governs his territory of heaven, same way he designed for us to govern our territory, the earth. And listen, and like I say, they lost that. Through what? Through disobedience. And through disobedience, man, you know, then mankind found himself, man, separated from that Holy Spirit that God breathed into man's nostrils, that breath of life that he breathed into man's nostrils. And now man is living in an atmosphere and environment on the earth called the Garden of Eden with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of his spirit so that he could be in constant fellowship, boy, with the Most High God, the Father God. So that he could commune with the Father God every day. Can you imagine that, boy, walking and talking with God every day, having a personal fellowship with your Father in heaven every day, walking and talking and becoming like him every day, on your way to becoming who you already are every day. He set the mark for us, boy, and then he say, now be fruitful and multiply. And that's where he gave mankind work. He say, become. That's what the word work means. The work is different from a job. You know, your job is what you go to. Work is what you was born to do. That's your work. When he told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the whole earth and subdue the earth, he was telling them, become who I say you are. Who he said we are, that we are the sons of the Most High God. Become what I say you can do. What did he say? What did he say we could do? We could do all things through Christ who strengthened us. Become who I to your fullness of your destination. What he says, hey, I created you in my image and in my likeness with all power, with dominion over your territory, right? Become that. Make it in your territory just like it is in my territory. Become that. That's your assignment. That's your work. That's the work that you was born to do. To do what, Arthur? To, boy, influence earth with heaven's policies, with heaven's dictate, with heaven's influence, with heaven's culture, with heaven's lifestyle, with heaven itself. What purpose, Arthur? So it might be in our territory, the earth, just like it is in his territory, the heaven. Listen, God wanted that. God designed that. God intentionally... Man, that was his purpose, man, even before the foundation of the world. The Bible says he chose this before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy in his image and his likeness and without blame, covered in his love. He chose all that before the foundation of the world. He said, come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. What? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundations of the world. That's ours. It ain't something that you're trying to get or something that you're trying to earn. That's something that belongs to you. What, Arthur? All of the kingdom of heaven. It's your inheritance. It belongs to us. We're trying to get, man, what's already ours. What if somebody left you an inheritance, man, of $1 billion? And you didn't know about it, man, and you'd be trying your best, working a job, everything else, trying your best to make it in life and to be successful and everything else. But all the time, man, you are heir of $1 billion. But here you are trying to get prosperous, trying to get wealth. When all the time, boy, you have it. It's an inheritance that was yours all before the foundation of the world. Can you imagine that? Us trying to get what we already have. Us trying to get saved, man, you know, through religious rituals and ceremonies and do's and don'ts and everything else. When all the time, man, we already saved. When Jesus Christ, boy, what he did for on this earth when he came, boy, saved us from all our sins. Can you imagine, man, trying to get the blessings of God upon your life when you're already blessed? Listen to what God said in Genesis chapter 1. He said, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Listen, you're already blessed. God blessed you even before the enemy deceived Adam and Eve. And what God has blessed can't be cursed. How the devil going to come and curse, man, what God has already blessed, man, even before the foundation of the world? Instead of being blessed, we're trying to get blessed. Instead of being empowered by God and enlightened by God, and we're trying to get what we already have instead of having what's already ours. I'm going to say that again. Boy, through religion, we're trying to get what we already have. But in the kingdom, you just start having what's already yours. That's why it's so important for God, man, and for us, man, and for God, and for all of us who are members of the kingdom of God. We got one assignment. That one assignment is winning souls. Where are they? To the kingdom of God. Not to our denominations, not to our religion, not to our church, not winning souls to the kingdom of God. Winning souls, what's the kingdom of God? God's way of doing things. What God is doing. Not what the Buddhists is doing. Not what the Muslims is doing. Not what the Hindus are doing. Not what the Christians is doing. But what God is doing. See, all the things that the Christians are doing, boy, and Christianity, and all the things that the Buddhists are doing through Buddhism, and the Hindus are doing through Hindus, and the Muslims are doing through Hindus, that ain't what God's doing. All those are religions. Religion is man's attempt to try to appease God and reach, man, his potential and standard for our lives. That's your attempt to do that. Hey, listen, he's too high for that. You can't reach God. Except, boy, he come out here and reach you, man, you lost in your sin, dead in trespassing and sin. But he so loved you so much in the world that he intended for you to live in. He loved that world so much that he sent his only begotten son, boy, to do what you could never do. You could never save yourself. You could never redeem yourself from the curse of the law. The best you could do, the Bible says, is like filthy rags. You could never get back in right standing with God. You could never come back into the Garden of Eden and receive the Holy Spirit on your own efforts and your own doings and your own search. Never. And God, why? Because you'd already sinned. And the penalty for sin is death. And the death that it's talking about is not physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. Separation from God. Separation from that Holy Spirit that he breathed into man's nostrils, the breath of life. Separation from your divine connection to hell. Separation from men. Boy, and through our means, and even through the observance of the laws and everything else, boy, we've been trying to get in right standings with God. But all the time, the Bible say, boy, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he who knew no sins, this is how much God loved you. He know that you couldn't save yourself. You couldn't deliver yourself. You couldn't recover yourself from the snares of the devil. But he loved you and the world and the arraignment and the plan and desire that he originally had for your life, that he set up on the earth. he loved that world so much, boy, that he sent that world back to the earth. He come himself to bring that world back to the earth. And we've been preoccupied, man, with religion. Instead of, boy, coming back into, boy, that world. You've been trying your best to make it to heaven. And all the time, boy, God loved you so much, boy, that he brought heaven back to you. Can you imagine? You trying to get to heaven, and God then brought heaven to you. You trying to get to heaven, you're going to never accomplish that. Like the Bible says, the best you could do to obtain that is like filthy rags. Listen, if you obeyed all the laws that Moses gave to the children of Israel, man, from this day forth to the rest of your life, man, that wouldn't do it. That wouldn't save you. Why? Because you've already sinned. You've already fallen short of the mark. You've already transgressed God's law. And the penalty for the transgression of God's law, the penalty for that is death. You've already missed it. And there's nothing that you can do, man, to clean yourself up. That's why Jesus said, boy, even John said this. He said, listen, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me. He's going to baptize you, boy, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's going to baptize. Hey, listen, the water baptism that I'm doing, that's just a type and shadow of what God is really going to do, boy, when the Messiah comes and finish doing what he's doing. What? He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. What the water baptism, man, that's a symbol, man. That's a type and shadow of that which is to come. What type and shadow, boy? Water baptism is when you, is a symbol of when you go into the water, that means you're going down a dirty Christian, a sinful person, a sinful man, not Christian, but a sinful being, a sinful man, going down in trespassing and sin, going into a water baptism, a burial, and raising back up, boy, cleansed from all unrighteousness. That's a type of shadow. That's what the water baptism is a symbol of. You dying to sin, but awakening to righteousness. You going down, boy, a dirty human being, man, in sins, man, in transgression of God's law, and coming up, man, a clean human being. Penalty for your sins paid in full. A whole brand new life. A whole brand new way of thinking. A whole brand new way of living. A whole brand new way of being. Being the head, not the tail. Being above and not beneath. Being blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Being, man, in power, man, with all the potential that you need, man, to reach your God-given purpose and destiny. Being all that God intended, man, for you to be, do, and have. Well, let me show you something, boy, what God's will is for our life, you know, and then we're going to try to explain something to you and see how important, you know, this past celebration, this past holiday that we just got through celebrating, the Easter holiday, you know what it is and you know what it was, but perhaps, man, the church might be blind to the truth of why it was. See, we can know what something is, man, but then that's something that's greater than knowing what it is. And that's why it is. Why is the reason for a thing? The reason for its existence, the purpose for it, its original intent, its purpose. So we know what the Christmas celebration is, the birth of Jesus Christ, but we don't know why he was born. We know what Easter is. It's the celebration or the commemoration of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know what Easter is and what Christmas is, but do you know why? Listen, God is a God of purpose. He don't do nothing without a purpose. He don't just do things haphazardly. Everything that he do, he has a purpose for doing. He has a reason for doing it. He has a reason for creating you in his image and his likeness. He has a reason for creating the heaven and the earth. He has a reason for bringing you down to the earth and establishing you. He has a reason for forming a body from the dust of the ground for you. He has a reason for redeeming our life from destruction. He has a reason. He has a purpose for that. God is a God of purpose. Everything in life, everything that he created has a purpose for its being, has a reason for its existence. Everything. Number one, God is a God of purpose. Number two, everything in life has a purpose or reason for its existence. Number three, not every purpose is known. That's why I say we can know what something is, but you don't know why it is. Not every purpose is known. Number four, wherever purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. What you mean? Abnormal use of the thing is inevitable. If you don't know the purpose, man, for a chair, you can stand up on it, man, and you can jump on top of it, and all the time it's purpose for you to, for a place for you to sit on. But if you don't know its purpose, man, you'll miss at the use of it. You'll abuse it. Come from two words, abnormal use. Or you'll miss at the use of it, misuse. God is a God of purpose. Everything in life has a purpose. Not every purpose is known. Wherever purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. That's why we need to know the purpose for Jesus Christ coming to this earth. To redeem your life from a destruction. You need to know what destruction is you need to be redeemed from. The destruction, man, that Adam sold us into, boy, when he, man, transgressed God's law and sin came upon the whole human race. And through sin, death reigned. And death reigned, man, from Adam all the way down, man, until now. What was the purpose, man? You know, what we say it all, that God is a God of purpose. That everything he created has a purpose. That not every purpose is known. And wherever purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Listen, here's another one. If you ever want to know the purpose of a thing, don't ask the thing. Purpose is only found in the mind of the original purpose is found in the mind of the maker of a thing. Listen, if you want to know, man, what all about, man, a Chevrolet car, you don't go to the and look into the Ford manual, to the Ford dealer. Now, if you want to know about a Ford car, then you can go to the Ford dealer because they're the manufacturer. They're the maker of it. They know every part, every wire, everything, and it's purposeful. They know that. Why? Because they're the manufacturers of it. They're the builders of it. They the one who made it. And even before they made it, they had a purpose for his making. All the body parts, all the engine, all of the everything else, that's all the thing that he made. But there's a purpose for the automobile. And that's for, man, to get you from one place to another place for transportation. That's his purpose. But if you want to know, boy, what all the things is about and how that thing is functioning and everything else, boy, you got to go to the manufacturer. That's why every Chevrolet car comes with a Chevrolet manual in it from the Chevrolet company. Every Ford car come with a Ford manual in it from the Ford manufacturer. Why? Because they know the original intent and purpose for everything that, every part and everything that's in that vehicle. If you ever want to know the purpose of a thing, then ask the one who created it. Purpose is found in the mind of the maker of the thing. That's what a manual is in the automobile. That's the mind of the maker. It tell you how the thing functions, what it's about and everything else. But purpose is only found in the mind of the maker. So if you ever want to know the purpose for your creation, you listen, you made by God Incorporation, by God Manufacturing Company. So if you want to know the purpose, man, for your life, then you got to go back to the manufacturer. If you want to know the purpose of a thing, don't never ask the thing. You can't go to another created being and find out, man, your purpose. You got to go to God. You got to go back to the one who made you. You got to go to the one who originally knows what you mean. That's why I say we got to get back, man, to, man, what God said and what his intent was and what his purpose was for everything and for our lives and for heaven and everything else. What his purpose was for Jesus Christ coming to the earth? What his purpose was, man, for Jesus Christ dying on the cross and being buried and going to the grave and on the third day rising from the grave? You know what that is, and you celebrate that and everything else, but you don't know, you know what it is, but you don't know why it is. Listen, do you know that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that destroyed death power over your life? Do you know that the purpose of Jesus Christ dying on the cross was so that all your sins may be forgiven, so that you might have once again right standings with your, with the Creator, with the Father, with the Most High God? Do you know that, boy, when he died up on the cross, that wall that separated you from the presence of the Lord, that middle wall of partition that separated the holy place from the holies of holies was torn in two from the top all the way down, signifying that you who were separated from God because of your trespassing and sin that could never get you back into the presence of the Lord, that you can now come all the way past the gates of thanksgiving, all the way past the course of praise, all the way past the sanctuary, all the way past the Christian service and the rituals and the ceremonies and church as we know it, man, and come past all of that, all the way back into the presence of the Most High God, all the way back into the Garden of Eden, all the way back into the kingdom of heaven, all the way back into what God's original plan and intent and purpose was for our lives, and start living your life from there. See, if you don't know that, then you'll be trying to live your life to get there. When Jesus Christ, boy, has already provided the way. When Jesus Christ has already made the way. That's why he say, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. You want to come back into God's original plan and purpose and destiny for your life? Yeah, I'm the way. You want to know what the truth is in the reality of God's purpose and plan is for your life? Yeah, I'm the truth about it. You want to know about that life that God intended for you to have? Yeah, I'm it. I'm it. I come to show you, boy, who God is, and I come to who your Father God is, Jesus said, and I come to show you who you are. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you ever see the Father, boy, you'll see yourself. It'll be like looking into a mirror, boy, and you'll be chained to that same image. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. If you look into, man, what God is really doing and what God's kingdom is and what God desires for your life, it'll be like looking into a mirror. What do you mean if you're looking? If you're looking and find out what God said about you from the beginning, not in the beginning, but from the beginning, was his original intent and plan and purpose for your life, that it be in our lives here on earth like it is in heaven. And boy, if you look into that law, if you look into that word, if you seek the Bible in the light of that word, in the light of God's restoration for your life, God's original intent for your life, if you read the Bible, man, in the light of the kingdom of heaven, instead of the light of religion and Christianity, then boy, you will find what you've been looking for. You'll cease from all, after you find that, you'll cease from all your works. And then you'll start becoming who you already are. Line up on line, precept upon precept. Little by little, day by day, moment by moment. You'll start what, Arthur? You'll start becoming who you already are, who God created you to be. You start coming out of sickness into health, out of poverty into wealth, out of, man, Christian living into kingdom life. Royal life. The Bible says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, chosen by God, a royal priesthood. In Revelation chapter 5, it says you are a king and a priest. A king and a priest. Not just apostle and prophet and evangelist and pastor and teacher. All those are titles that God gave, but those are means to an end to get you back to your original title. What's your original title? An ambassador of Christ. That's far higher than apostle and prophet and evangelist and pastor and teacher. One day it ain't going to be no more apostles. One day it ain't going to be no prophets. One more day it ain't going to be no more evangelists and teachers and those tired that we come upon. One day the last song going to be sung. The last sermon going to be preached. And church, as we know it, man, one day that's going to be all over with. Boy, but who you really are? What? Son of the Most High God. Offspring of the Most High God, a king in the kingdom of God, an ambassador of the kingdom of God. Listen, those titles, they ain't gonna never pass away. You're gonna always be a representative of the kingdom of God. That's what an ambassador is, a representative of his country. You're gonna always be a king. That's a ruler over your domain, over your life, over your circumstance, over your situation, over the sickness in your body, over the poverty in your, over the lack in your body, over all the things that's not godliness in your body. You're gonna always be a king and a spiritual representative. You're gonna always be the child of the Most High God. You're gonna always be a representative, not of your denomination or your religion. You're gonna always be a representative of the kingdom of heaven, an ambassador of Christ, an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. You're gonna always be there. All those other titles are gonna pass away. All those other titles are just a means to an end to get you back to who you really are. Who you really are, boy, you're more than a Christian. You're the child of the Most High God. How much you love your children. And if there's anything that you could do for your children, man, to stop death from reigning over his life or to stop sickness or disease from reigning over your children's life, wouldn't you do it? How much more will our Heavenly Father, man, rescue us from the penalty of sin, which is death? How much more will our Heavenly Father heal us of all our wounds and all our diseases and redeem our life from destruction? If you being evil know how to give good things unto your children and good gifts to your children, how much more will our Heavenly Father, boy, reunite us back with the Holy Spirit, boy, the contact man to heaven and God? How much more? If we would do anything that we can in our power, boy, to bring healing to our children, how much more will our Father? I say it again. If we could stop death from reigning over our children's lives or our family members' lives, or our children's lives, wouldn't we do it? If we could bring our children back to life again after death, wouldn't you do it? If you could resurrect your child or your mother or your father or your loved one, wouldn't you do it? How much more will our Father in heaven redeem our lives from all the destruction, man, that came through Adam's disobedience, Adam's transgression of the law? How much more? Well, what we need to know, boy, is and so that we can begin to start living, man, the resurrected life. We need to know why Jesus Christ was resurrected. We need to know why Jesus Christ died upon the cross. You need to know, listen, it's something else we need to know, too, and come to the knowledge of, too. We know what happened on Good Friday. We know Jesus Christ died upon the cross for our sins, but we don't know why or understand it. And we know that on early Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. But you need to know also, man, what happened on Saturday. You need to know, boy, that boy. Those are things that the devil don't ever want you to know. Don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of, so that you can never find your original purpose and that God intended for your life, so that you never get back on course to God's destination for your life. You know, he don't ever want you to know that, boy, listen, that the power that Adam gave him, man, and the dominion and the power that God gave Adam over the earth, man, that he gave that over to the devil, boy, and the devil don't ever want you to know that that's been taken back from him and given back to you. Already, because if you don't ever know that it's been taken back from the devil, first of all, if you don't ever know what God's original intent and plan and purpose was for your life, then you never know what you lost in Adam's transgression, in Adam's sin. And if you never know what you lost, then you'll never know what you have received back. And if you don't never know what you have received back, then, man, and the enemy can continue on stealing and killing and robbing from us. God wants us to know, man, about the gospel of the kingdom. God wants you to hear about the gospel of the kingdom so that you can come past religion, man, and come back into, man, God's original intent and plan and purpose for your life. And that is that it be in our lives here on earth as it is in heaven. And when you come back to that and understand that and acknowledge that, then you can get back on course to God's destiny for your life. And you can start living the way God intended for us to live. Blessed and not cursed. Healed and not sick. Saved and not lost. With all power and not powerless. With authority and control and influence over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in our lives here on earth. Instead of circumstance, situation, and symptom dictating to us. Your dominion. Your righteousness. You'll be still trying to quit sinning so that you can get right with God when you are as right with God as you're ever going to be. And when you come to the knowledge of that, boy, you and awake to that, then you'll stop trying to get right and you'll start being right. You'll stop trying to get what you already have. And you'll start living as the righteous. Day by day by day. You won't be so much practicing on how to quit sinning. You'll be practicing, man, living right. And the more you live right, the less you'll sin. The devil wants you to try to sin less so that you could become more righteous. Ain't never going to happen that way. God wants you to know that you are as righteous as you're ever going to get because he made you righteous. Through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary for your sin. That's the purpose for him dying on the cross. That was to pay the penalty for sin. What sin? Transgression of God's law. Listen, God told Adam, man, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, he said, listen, you can eat off all the trees in the garden. But don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day that you eat off that tree, you're going to surely die. What Adam did, man, in Genesis chapter 3, he ate off the tree. He transgressed that law. What was the law? Don't eat off that tree. Why? You can. I give you free will. I give you, this is the perfect law of liberty in the kingdom. That's a law. The perfect law of liberty. I give you your own free will. But if you, I'm going to tell you something. Don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you do, you're going to surely die. You're going to surely separate yourself from me. And it's going to be in your territory, the earth, like it is here right now. Instead of it being in your territory, the earth, like it is in heaven, it's going to be in your territory like it is right here now. That's why it is. That's why it's on earth like it is here now. Racism and hatred and disease and sin and sickness and poverty and lack. That's why it's like that on the earth today. They got some good in this earth, too, in this world system, in this pattern of operation that's upon the earth today, too. It ain't all evil. They got some good in it, too. But that don't matter, man, about the good that's in it, man. Hey, listen, that's the way that seems right to man. Even the good that's in it, boy, then he ain't going to lead to destruction. One day, boy, he's going to be get rid of this earth. One day, going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. And they're going to be on earth like it is in heaven. God's going to finish what he started. God's going to have what he said. He just wants us to come to the knowledge of what he do so that we could cease from our works what we do. And get in on his works, what he doing. And when we get cease from our works and get in on his works, then boy, the works that Jesus did, we be doing also. What the work that Jesus did? He went about doing good and destroying the works of the devil. He went about, man, what you mean doing good? Redeeming man's life from destruction and restoring back to them their original purpose that God had for their life. What were you doing? Destroying the work of the devil. What was the work of the devil? To separate you from God and God's plan and purpose and destiny for your life. What Jesus Christ did, come and reconciled you back to God's plan and destiny for your life. What I got to do now, Arthur, as I begin to close this minute, now you got to come on into the kingdom. How you come into the kingdom, God, Arthur? He would do just like Nicodemus. Say, Lord, I'll get in this kingdom. He say, all you got to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, find out about the kingdom. Find out, man, how to get in the kingdom. How you get in the kingdom, man? Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's why he died, to cleanse you from all your sins. What purpose? So that spirit of life that God breathed into Adam's nostrils, the Holy Spirit, that's the connection, man, that the only way that you can get all the kingdom of heaven operating in your life is through the Holy Spirit that you had in Adam before they disobeyed God, that left when Adam disobeyed God. Hey, boy, Jesus Christ's death on the cross cleansed you up from all unrighteousness so that the Holy Spirit, that breath of life, the God kind of life, can come back and reside on the inside of us so that we can start charting our course, man, and living that kind of life. the abundant life that Jesus Christ couldn't give. What the work of the devil? He couldn't steal, kill, and destroy that life. And what Jesus Christ couldn't do, he couldn't bring that life back. Hallelujah. Restore it back to us. And he did that. He ain't trying to do that. He did that. He, on the cross, he said, Father, the work that you sent me to do, it's finished. What you sent him to do? He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit. Those who don't know, man, what God is doing. Those who don't know what's really going on. Those who are poor in spirit. Those who don't know more about the kingdom of God and all that God has done and don't know why the resurrection, why the death, why the burial, why the birth, why was all of that? Well, he wants you to know that. And as you get into the kingdom of God and come on into the kingdom of God and listen, man, here's the way to the kingdom of God. There's a door. Jesus Christ said, I'm the door. And if you come in into to the Father any other way, you're a thief and a robber. But if you come through, man, what the knowledge of me through why God sent me and why I died up on the cross and why, man, I was buried and went to the grave and why I rose from the dead, then you'll discover something, man, look. That you can come on back into the Garden of Eden and start learning how to live your life from man there. And you can start charting your course toward the destiny that God has for your life. The destination that is you're going to reign on earth for hell. The destiny is that you're going to be on earth just like it is in hell. That's the destination. And that it being on earth like it is in heaven, you're going to reign in that world, in that environment, in that atmosphere, in that system, in that pattern of operation. You're going to live in that governing influence. What governing influence? Heaven on earth. You're going to live there forever and ever and ever. That's your destination. You're going to be in your life just like it is in heaven, forever and ever and ever. And the good news is, Jesus comes preaching this, you don't have to wait till the sweet by and by to get there. That's available to you right now. You can begin to chart your course toward that destination right now. So you ain't get to the fullness of it, man, right now, boy, and the consummation of it, the whole thing, but you can begin that journey right now. Where it begin at, Arthur? On earth? No, it begin in earth, in you. Where's the kingdom of heaven at? It's not in observation. It's not over there in Kuwait, in the oil fields or the diamond mines or in Africa or South America or North America. Where is the kingdom of God at? The kingdom of God is on the inside of every man and woman who will receive it, man, back. It's your inheritance. Everyone who will grab a hold of it and seize it and place it in their possession. That's what the word receive means, to grab a hold of and to place in your possession, to seize, to siege. And when you grab a hold of it and place it in your direction, boy, then you'd be like a little bitty baby. A brand, just like you were born into this natural world, man, and start learning from there how to walk, how to talk, how to feed yourself, how to, you know, understand, how to grow in knowledge. It's the same way in the kingdom of God, boy. You come in like a little bitty baby. At first, you don't know how to walk like God wants you to walk, talk like God wants you to talk. That's why, boy, God give you, boy, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. What? To perfect you, to train you up for the work of your ministry. What's your work of the ministry? To get past apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and come back into who you really are. The sons of the Most High God, male and female sons of the Most High God, kings and queens in God's kingdom here on earth. What rulers on the earth, no matter whether you're in a male body or a female body, but rulers on the earth, ruling over your circumstance, situation, and symptoms. Instead of circumstance and situation and symptoms dictating to us, we start dictating to it. Instead of death dictating to us, we start dictating to it. Instead of poverty and racism and calamity and death and sickness and disease dictating to us, we start dictating to it. We flip the script in the name of Jesus. Hey, listen, y'all, my time is up. And I love y'all with the love of the Lord. And it's always my desire, you know, that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will for our lives. You know, that's what God's original intent and plan and purpose is for our lives. Listen, I never did get to the point about it. It's still an introduction. But I want to teach you, man, what sin is and where it really comes from and how and what God did about it. So that you would know more about sin and you would know about death. That it no longer has any authority and power over our life no more. so that we can start living our life, man, from a righteous consciousness and living in abundance and not life. That's God's plan and desire for our life, and God's going to help us. If you stay tuned to this broadcast, then you're going to learn that, and you're going to go from religion to kingdom life. Hey, listen, I decree